last time in the NFL.
A 32-yard field goal attempt from the right hash mark. Kick on the way. It is long enough, and it's no good. He hooked it wide to the left. And the collective sense of utter despair lines the Patriots and the Ravens sideline. Flacco drops to throw, fires the out pattern, intercepted on the far sideline, and going all the way down the Broncos sideline is Chris Harris. Only Joe Flacco can catch him, and he will not get there as Chris Harris takes the ball all the way for a touchdown.
You know, sometimes we're not prepared for adversity. When it happens, sometimes we're caught short. We don't know exactly how to handle it when it comes up. Sometimes we don't know just what to do when adversity takes over. And I have advice for all of us. I got it from our pianist, Joe Zawinul, who wrote this tune. And it sounds like what you're supposed to say when you have that kind of problem. It's called mercy, mercy, mercy.
I don't know one person that's actually good in their profession if they didn't think that they were the best. And I think I'd be doing myself a disservice. I think I'd be doing this organization a disservice if I wasn't going to stand by that and actually believe that.
In the gun, flanked by Rice and Leach, Flacco barking out the signals. The deafening noise here in Denver as Flacco takes the snap, drops the throw, looking deep, looking for Torrey Smith. He's open, got it at the 10, inside the 5, and he'll high step into the end zone for the touchdown. Joe Flacco to the speedster Torrey Smith, and the Ravens are an extra point away from tying it up.
Denver rushes 3. Flacco steps up, throws deep, far sideline, Jacoby Jones, has it at the 20, oh! Jacoby Jones, touchdown, oh! Ravens, no flags on the play, and the miracle is answered. Snap, Sam Cook with the hold, kick on the way, kick is long enough, it is good, woo! And the Ravens are going to the AFC Championship game. Do you believe in miracles is what I said with 2 minutes of play, and the miracle has come to pass.
Shotgun formation for Flacco, Rice to his left. Snap to Flacco. There's the rush. He fires to the end zone. It's caught for a touchdown in the back line of the end zone.
Joe Flacco just got paid. Cha-ching, cha-ching, ring him up. Time to pay that man.
Three receivers to the near side right on second down. Snap to Brady. Stands in, fires to the end zone, and it is intercepted by the Baltimore Ravens, and that will wrap it up.
And it is all over at the AFC Championship game. It's time to celebrate. The Ravens are going back to the Super Bowl. Woo-hoo-hoo! For the first time since the 2000 season.
Kaepernick lifts the right leg. He takes the shotgun snap, hands it to Gore. Gore running right side. He's in. Touchdown, 49ers. A gaping hole off the right side. And Frank Gore has put the 49ers in front for the first time in the NFC Championship. It all comes to this fourth down. Fourth and 4 at the San Francisco 10. Ryan in a shotgun. Rodgers to his left. Three receivers right. Ryan takes the snap. Looking. Looking. Pressure. Throws middle. Broken up. Broken up by Navarro Bowman. The 49ers have held. Ryan spreads the field. He's standing in the shotgun, takes the snap, backpedals to the 32, steps up, throws one, floating it over the middle, caught by Julio Jones, tackled there, and the 49ers are going to New Orleans. The San Francisco 49ers, Super Bowl bound. Hurricanes and beignets for breakfast.
They're a veteran, experienced group. They're very well coached. You see them adjust from team to team, you know, whether it's Peyton Manning, Broncos, Washington Redskins, you know, week in and week out, this team has the ability to play at a high level and adjust to multiple looks.
It's a great opportunity to get a win, to bring back the legacy to San Francisco that, I mean, great teams and great quarterbacks have had before.
Steps up in the pocket, throwing deep. He's got Jacoby Jones open at the 10. Jones makes the catch. He's not touched. Bounces up. Spins out of one tackle. Running at the left hash mark. Launches in. Touchdown, Ravens. Jacoby Jones, Mr. Long Distance, has struck again.
Woohoo! What a score!
Akers kickoff to start the second half. Fielded by Jacoby Jones, 8 yards deep, brings it out of the end zone. Left hash mark 10, 15, 20, shed the tackle, 30. Jacoby Jones midfield, he might, 30, he could, 20, no flag, he will go all the way, Jacoby Jones.
Resume action, third down and 13. Let's go.
Kaepernick takes the snap. Kaepernick going to roll to his left, trying to get down the sideline. Kaepernick running to the 10, to the 5, he's in. Kaepernick's going to run out of time. The 49ers have to call a timeout. They don't. The snap is there. Ball's thrown up to the end zone, incomplete. Really a no-chance play.
Fielded by Ginn at the 18. Clock begins. 3 seconds left. Two. Ginn to the 40. Time is expired. Ginn is tackled. And the Hayes in the barn. The Baltimore Ravens are Super Bowl champions.
Woo! Let's bust out the crowd cakes. Let's feast.
It is time for another installment of the JMRA podcast. Well, hey, it is the regular season opener coming up on Thursday night between the Ravens and Broncos. As we record this, it is Thursday morning as we get you set for week one in the National Football League. We'll take a look at many of the games, actually all the games. A quick look as far as what's to come for the 2013 NFL season as well, with, yes, a begrudgingly awful Super Bowl pick that will surely guarantee your two teams will not reach Super Bowl 48 in MetLife Stadium in New Jersey coming up in February. Plus, we'll have some fantasy picks as well headed your way. Well, it is really the close of one chapter and the beginning of another, because as we head towards the rematch between the Ravens and Broncos from that great playoff game back in January, in which the Ravens won in overtime 38-35. The closing of the book is on the closing of many fantasy drafts around the country, because this is a busy week or two, last week or two. That's when a lot of fantasy drafts get done. I've been in a slew of fantasy drafts. Actually, someone changed the time of a draft I was supposed to be in. It was supposed to start at 9:15 on Wednesday night, and they changed it to start at 6:15. I read it at about 6:30 while I was still at work. I don't even know what my team is, but hey, those are the breaks, I suppose. Other things draft related as well. It's always fun to get together for these things, and it's such actually. You know, there's that moment right around October, November, where you realize whether or not you can contend, depending on if you have playoffs or not. And you kind of realize to yourself, the draft is a high point for a lot of leagues. That is the moment. After you have your team, you know, you hunker down and you get set and you try to figure out ways to win your league title and all that good stuff. But the draft for me is the event. And it's been tougher over the years for me because I've ended up hosting some of these things. And when you're hosting, it's just a different mindset. You're not paying attention to your own team as much. You're paying attention to make sure everybody's all right. Everybody's getting their beer. Everybody's getting, you know, pizza and food and all that stuff, making sure they're fed and taken care of. And you kind of leave the other stuff on the back burner. And that sometimes is a little bit distracting. And in the case of one of my leagues, my brother's in it. And as you met him in a previous podcasting episode, and he will be returning to the podcast soon. He's in Atlanta and I'm in New Jersey, and he has the iPhone, he has FaceTime and all that good stuff. And all I could do was call him while he was out for his birthday during his draft. And I'll let you figure out how that went. It wasn't pretty. Wasn't pretty at all. But thankfully the draft season, at least that portion of that segment of the draft, is in the books. And now we get towards the real stuff. And, you know, looking into this season, a lot of people are all over the hybrid teams. And by the hybrid teams, I mean San Francisco, Seattle, at least in the NFC. Even some people are giving Washington some late love because RG3 is going to start the opener. But I want you to think about this as we start the season. Now, I'm going to go over my Super Bowl pick later, which may or may not contradict the following statement that I'm about to say. But you got to remember something about these hybrid teams. Sooner or later, the answer is coming. Okay, the answer is coming for those two teams. And for all the hype we gave San Francisco and Seattle last year, and they lived up to it. They performed very well. San Francisco should have won the Super Bowl, but their own play calling got in the way. Seattle made a good run to the divisional round. Probably they should have beaten Atlanta, but they woke up too late. Another slow start for them in the playoffs. Remember, the world champion of professional football, as the 2013 season opens, is not Seattle. It's not San Francisco. It's the Baltimore Ravens, and that's where we'll start with the Ravens and Broncos in Denver because of the schedule conflict between the Orioles and Ravens, unable to get things together because the Orioles have a baseball game. And if you've ever parked in Baltimore, those two stadiums are basically next to each other. It makes sense why this game could not work in Baltimore. That traffic situation, now granted, I haven't been to a ton of stadiums in my day, but that parking situation is horrifying. There's no way that's going to work for anybody. There's no way. No way, no way, no way they could have made that situation work. So they did the right thing. It just looks really weird. And for the Broncos and Ravens to be playing this game in Denver, I don't know. You know what? To me, if you weren't going to give this game to Baltimore at home, why not put them on Sunday night at home? Just put them on Sunday night at home and at least give them the opportunity to celebrate in front of their home fans against Denver. Make the Giants and the Cowboys the opener. I mean, if it was that big of a problem, I know, yeah, all time-honored traditions, well, at least over the last decade, of having the Super Bowl champion start. But to me, it's more important that the champion starts at home than it is that they open the season. Am I going to remember in 30 years the Baltimore Ravens open on a Thursday night? Honestly, yeah, I probably will. But will you? Eh. Maybe not. I mean, I just think it's more important to have the home fans experience it. Now, you know, you go into the second game of the year, you know, when you go into your home opener, that kind of takes the sting out of it and the fun out of it. But nonetheless, should be a good one. Broncos and Ravens. And, well, you know, a lot of the talk about the Broncos coming into this is that offense with Wes Welker, Demaryius Thomas, and Eric Decker at receiver, of course, headed up by Peyton Manning. But a couple of questions for the Broncos. The running attack. Ronnie Hillman, you know, that's going to be the go-to guy you'd think in the rushing attack. Monte Ball, he is also another guy you can look at in the running game. But remember with rookie backs, and that's the case for Ball, coaches normally are hesitant with them because of pass protection. So Hillman, you would think, will get the bulk of the work for the Broncos on Thursday night when they take on the Ravens. Meanwhile, for Baltimore, we're going to find out a lot about Joe Flacco. You know, he signed that big contract in the offseason. He had that huge postseason. I just don't know with Joe Flacco if he's going to turn into that guy. You know, Aaron Rodgers is that guy. Drew Brees, to a lesser extent, is that guy. We obviously know Tom Brady is that guy. The same thing for Peyton Manning. They're only a small chunk of franchise, really blue-chip quarterbacks in the NFL. I still don't think Joe Flacco is quite there yet. I mean, seriously, if I gave you a pick of any quarterback in the National Football League right now, okay, you're not taking Joe Flacco first. You're probably taking Aaron Rodgers. After that, who are you going to take? Maybe Brady? Maybe Breeze, maybe one of the hybrid guys. I mean, it's Flacco. Just he's like that tweener. He's just, and I think he deserves his due. There's no question about it. He deserves the credit for winning that Super Bowl. He was a Super Bowl MVP. He was fantastic during the postseason last year, but he's missing the it factor. Okay, and the only way to get it's, I guess the easiest way to explain it is Eli Manning. Eli Manning just seems like, yeah, he won those two Super Bowls, but there's still something missing. There's just still something there's a missing ingredient. You know, you know how you make it like spaghetti sauce? It just doesn't taste right. You need to throw some more, you know, molasses in there or ketchup or sugar or something. That's what it is with Flacco and Eli Manning. Like, there's a little panache missing. It's a little bit. But that's not what matters. What matters is the fact that he's a winning quarterback and he's the defending Super Bowl MVP. And, hey, in that game, you'd expect the defenses to play a big role, I would think. And I don't think you will see the bombs away effort we saw, the high-scoring affair we saw in the postseason last year. I actually like I like the Broncos in that game to win. And the Ravens, I think, are going to have a hard time making the playoffs this year. But we'll get into that a little bit more as the podcast rolls on. On to Sunday, Patriots at Bills. Oh, boy. EJ Manuel, it was revealed on Wednesday, he will start this game. If you remember the last time these two teams met in Buffalo, and that's where this game will be played, was back on September the 30th. Buffalo had New England on the ropes. I believe it was something like 21-7 or something like that in the first half. And then New England won the game 52-28. They exploded, and Brandon Bolden and Stephen Ridley, 243 yards combined and three touchdowns. Brady goes for 340 and three scores. So that a big, big effort the last time those two teams got together in Buffalo. The last meeting, a 37-31 win for the Patriots in Foxborough. Brady with two touchdowns. Ridley as well, 98 yards and a score. Obviously, Ridley's a guy you want to look at in fantasy play this week going against the Buffalo Bills defense. Who, you know, under the leadership of Doug Marone, you'd expect them to have a little bit more juice out there. But I think the Patriots will try to, I think, establish a run early with those receivers being a little new. You may see some jitters early on. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some early turnovers from the Patriots, but you expect them to get going at some point and at least grab the victory against the Buffalo Bills. C.J. Spiller, you'd expect him to perhaps have a big effort. Only one of the only players in NFL history to rush for 1,200 yards in a season while averaging 6 yards per carry or better. That's not easy. Spiller had 1,244 last year. First time in his career he rushed for 1,000 yards, joining the likes of Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, O.J. Simpson as well. That's some pretty good company right there. But the Bills will have their work cut out for them. Seattle, Carolina. You never know with these games where Seattle's going over to the East Coast to play, but in Carolina, the Panthers have been they've been an interesting team. This is a bizarre game because Carolina's defense is not bad, but Seattle, if they're going to make a run to the Super Bowl here, you got to take care of games like this, even though it's on the road, led by Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch as well, those two keying that offense. The receiving core, they obviously tried to bring in Percy Harvin to get something going there, but it didn't work out as far as his health situation goes. He's got a hip injury, and I've seen all kinds of estimates on him. I've seen reports saying he's going to miss 6 weeks. Some say he may not be back for the season at all. Now it's saying he's progressing a little bit better than anticipated. So that situation there will be one to watch as the season rolls on. Golden Tate, a guy to look out for, maybe a sleeper candidate from the fantasy perspective, if you are a Golden Tate owner. Moving on to Cincinnati at Chicago as we continue our sojourn through the 1 o'clock games. How about this? This is a Jim Nance-Phil Sims game. Cincinnati at Chicago? Wow. Jim Nance and Phil Sims will be in Chicago calling that game. I guess it's not a strong AFC slate, but I'm a little surprised to see that. But one of the late hype teams of the preseason, the Cincinnati Bengals. People picking them to go to the Super Bowl, which is interesting because I don't know what do you see out of them that screams that team's going to the Super Bowl? Yeah, they can play defense. The rushing game's okay. You have Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Giovanni Bernard has looked nice in the preseason. A.J. Green, solid receiver. Andy Dalton, meh. 19-13 as a starter in his career. How about this? 59% of his wins, 59% the winning percentage for Dalton, and that in the minimum 20 starts, that's the best for a Bengals quarterback ever. That's the highest winning percentage for a Bengals quarterback ever. 59%. I mean, that's not in Tom Brady territory by any means. But anyhow, with the Bears. Mark Trestman making his coaching debut. Jay Cutler for the Bears. Let's see if he can get something going with Brandon Marshall. Also, Martellus Bennett could be a factor as the season wears along at the tight end spot for the Bears. And the first game without the services of Brian Urlacher, at least as far as this season goes, without him being on the sidelines or on the field, then that's going to be an odd situation for the Bears defense, I would think. You know, some of these guys like Urlacher and Ray Lewis, who aren't there this year, you would think you'd miss more of that leadership more so than them, per se, being on the field. They're great players, but slowing down over the years. And you wonder how those defenses will go about replacing them. Of course, Lance Briggs there for the Bears defense, who turned over the opponent in mass at times throughout the 2012 season. Brandon Marshall battling an injury, 118 catches last season. Should be ready to roll here for the Bears in week one. But be careful from the fantasy perspective in that game because of the fact the Bengals defense, very good, led by Geno Atkins, one of the best, if not the best, defensive tackle in the National Football League, 12.5 sacks season ago. Miami at Cleveland, one of those bizarro games in the AFC. Miami, a team people trying to make some noise for as far as being a potential wild card candidate. We'll see about that, led by Ryan Tannehill and the new acquisition, Mike Wallace, at receiver. This could be a sneaky game for the Dolphins because the Browns, led by Rob Chudzinski, their new head coach, arriving by way of Carolina. Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator there. A lot of people believe that Norv Turner will help out that offense with Trent Richardson at running back and also Greg Little as well at wide receiver. At home, sooner or later, the fortune for the Browns has got to change, you would think. I mean, it has to flip a little bit, doesn't it? Wouldn't be surprised to see the Browns go over the top in that game and win, but I think the Dolphins, if they want to have any playoff hopes, you'd expect them to win that game in Cleveland. Minnesota at Detroit. Well, the Vikings, a playoff team from a year ago. The last time we saw them, Joe Webb was running around in the pocket in Lambeau Field in a playoff loss to the Packers. Christian Ponder led the team to 10 wins last year, also 18 touchdown passes, but they're going to need a lot more from him because if you read the blog at joemontanasrightarm.com, the post we put up also on Sundays are for football as well about the history of 2,000-yard rushers in the following season. It's not pretty. So you wonder if Ponder's going to have to step up this year. You'd think so if the Vikings are going to get back to postseason play. Meanwhile, Detroit talks a big game, but rarely do they play it. 4-12 last year. Matthew Stafford almost 5,000 yards again, but really low in terms of a touchdown total. 20 touchdown passes for him. That 49-67, second in the NFL in yardage behind Drew Brees, but still not enough to get the Lions on the winning side of things. And in this one, you know, again, you have to favor the home teams a little bit in the opener because of the emotion of the first game of the year. So I expect Detroit to get the win there. Even though Minnesota could very well put together a strong defensive effort, you just wonder about Christian Ponder on the road in certain spots, and that could be a tough and a tight spot for him, assuming Detroit is disciplined, which is always asking a lot. Oakland at Indianapolis, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this game for one reason. I think Oakland is the worst team in the NFL, hands down. You know, I was looking at game notes for this. Matt Flynn or Terrell Pryor. Those are your options at quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. Those two. Well, good luck. I mean, I think that this is a W for the Colts and Indy. Andrew Luck and the Colts looking to get back to the postseason after having a great year last year, really under the radar in the beginning of the year and then kind of turned it on from there before losing to Baltimore in the wild card round. So you expect Andrew Luck to really be a factor. Passed for the most yards by a rookie quarterback in NFL history, just under 4,400 yards passing for Andrew Luck. 7-1, by the way, last year in Lucas Oil. 7-1, that's pretty good for the rookie. So the Colts, they should have an easy time there against Oakland. Kansas City at Jacksonville. Oh, my goodness. The beginning of the Andy Reid era. Might need a pillow if you're watching that one. That's it. A game like that is why you're glad sometimes that you don't have an NFL Sunday ticket, because you wouldn't want to stumble and be stuck across that game. I mean, that's That is a red zone channel situation if I've ever seen it. If you have to pick a side in that one, I guess Kansas City. I mean, that's, ugh, no thank you. Moving along, Atlanta at New Orleans. This could be the fantasy football special, if you will. All players, I would start all players in this game. It's going to be an emotional time for the Saints because of the fact that Sean Payton is coaching his first regular season game since 2011. I mean, it seems like, in fact, his last game that he coached was in that playoff game against the 49ers during the 2011 season, actually took place in the calendar year of 2012. It seems like to me, I was telling one of my buddies about this, it seems like Sean Payton has been out of the NFL for 5 years. That's what it feels like. It's odd to see him back on the sidelines, but he's back. And the Saints, you know, that is a Super Bowl-ready offense at times when they are clicking with that personnel. So you'd expect the Falcons to have their hands full. Again, the Falcons, another team in the NFC, getting some Super Bowl buzz. And this is not a team on the rise anymore in Atlanta. They're there, and they're supposed to get back to the NFC Championship game and then some. You know, so much has been talked about with the Ravens and the 49ers and the Seahawks and this and that. The Falcons were up 17-0 in the NFC title game and blew it. That is a tough, tough, tough pill to swallow if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan. 17-0 lead in the NFC title game. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if you're playing the 85 Bears. You got to be able to hold on to that lead. They did not. And as a result, they dropped a trip to the Super Bowl. These two teams split a pair of games last year with the Saints winning in the Superdome a season ago in the early stages of November. I think the Saints are going to have a bounce back year this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they get to the postseason. I think that's going to start here against the Atlanta Falcons. The Jets and Buccaneers at MetLife Stadium. Oh, my goodness. This one makes you want to duck for cover. This is going to be a rough one, potentially, for the Jets. It looks like Geno Smith will get the start. Mark Sanchez still banged up from preseason action. I said the Raiders were the worst team in the NFL. I think the Jets are not far behind. You know, Santonio Holmes in the mix. I mean, they're still going to battle with some of those players from the playoff teams in the early part of the, I guess you call them, 10s, the 2000s. But I don't expect the Jets to be much of a factor this year at all. Just a dreadfully undermanned football team. And, you know, Rex Ryan is going to tailgate at Clemson games. He probably should have stayed out there because I don't think he'll be long for this season. He might be the first head coach to go this year. So, or if not by week 8, maybe by the end of the year or after the season's over. I don't expect him to be around long for the party during the 2013 season. Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a very up-and-down team under Mike Tomlin. They have a good year, then they have a bad year. Then they have a good year, then they have a bad year. So they're kind of, and by bad, I mean like 7-9, 8-8. So we'll see what the Steelers have in store for this 2013 season. You'd have to think some of their defensive players a little bit longer in the tooth. That's where they have to improve. I mean, there's some question marks about that offensive line, clearly being able to protect Roethlisberger. The running game is a mess right now for the Steelers. Meanwhile, for the Titans, Jake Locker is a guy to take a look at, maybe long-term from a fantasy perspective. But when you take a look at some of the other key guys in this game, you know, it all depends on whether or not the Steelers can generate some defense. I think in front of their home crowd, at least in the early part against this Tennessee team that is still, you know, it's Chris Johnson-centric, and I think that will remain the case for them. They have a couple of talented receivers in Kendall Wright and also Kenny Britt as well, but I'd have to like the Steelers in that one. As we go to the and continue on towards the 4 o'clock games, Arizona at St. Louis, a sneaky NFC West game. The NFC West developing into one of the best divisions in football. If you remember last year in St. Louis, this was a game where the Cardinals went in 4-0 in the year and lost, and then that was the end of their season, essentially, because I believe they lost 11 of their last 12 from there. So they were a hot mess after the 17-3 loss in St. Louis on national television. So that will be intriguing to see how the Cardinals respond to Carson Palmer. I like Larry Fitzgerald this year in fantasy football terms, but the team, not so much. I think it's still going to be a struggle for them. Rashard Mendenhall will get the start for the Cardinals. And, well, for the Rams, a lot of this is going to depend on Sam Bradford and if he can find guys open for that Rams offense. The Rams defense, very good. Tied for the NFL lead in sacks last season with 52, tying with Denver in that category. They should be able to generate a pass rush against Arizona. The question is, can they score points against an Arizona defense that isn't that bad? Green Bay at San Francisco. By the way, if you have to take a side in that one, I like the Rams. Green Bay at San Francisco. This is where Green Bay's season ended last year in the playoffs. It also is where their season started. Well, at least they started against San Francisco at Lambeau Field. The postseason game was not pretty for the Green Bay Packers as Colin Kaepernick ran all over the Green Bay Packers, 181 yards rushing, the most by a quarterback in NFL history, 181. Also had two touchdown passes and two rushing touchdowns as well. One of the great playoff performances of all time. So the Green Bay defense has their hands full. Aaron Rodgers will be looking to keep his strong seasons going for the Packers. But, hey, you know, a lot of people look at the quarterbacks as bellwether guys, and certainly I'm one of those people who does. With Green Bay, and this, you can make the same argument for New England. Both of those teams need help from their defenses. And that's the only way they're going to be able to get back to Super Bowl form is getting help from the defense. And you wonder if they can do that. Speaking of Green Bay, Eddie Lacy, the rookie out of Alabama, will be a threat potentially for the Green Bay running game. But it's going to come down to whether or not that defense can hold down Kaepernick. I do not think they will be able to. I like San Francisco in that one. Sunday night, Giants at Cowboys. Wouldn't be surprised if that's a high-scoring game there in Big D as Tony Romo and company. Look, with Dallas, I don't expect much out of Dallas this year. I think it's an undermanned team. I think it's a team that has guys who put up fantasy numbers for you. That's the best way I can explain it. They don't work well and mesh well as a team. I think it's going to be a struggle for them in 2013. Dez Bryant setting career highs in catches with 92, 1382, and 12 touchdowns last season. He's a week-in and week-out fantasy stud for you. The Giants, you know, Eli Manning is underrated. I mean, as far as the fantasy stuff goes, 3,000 yards and 20 touchdown passes at least in 8 consecutive seasons. The only player in team history to do that. You can do a lot worse in fantasy than Eli Manning. Just under 4,000 yards last year and 26 touchdown passes. And then Tony Romo. But hey, I don't know if you noticed this last year. Tony Romo finished third in passing last year. Yeah, he almost threw for 5,000 yards last year and 28 touchdowns. But nobody cares because it's Tony Romo. So that's one of the more odd things about the Cowboys, is that Romo doesn't get any respect, but you totally understand why. It just doesn't work for him. He makes the wrong mistake at the wrong time. It's like that kid who, you know, you give him 10 tests, okay? And the really big exam, he fails all the time. He'll take 10 quizzes, and he'll get 100 on all the quizzes. But that real cumulative drop-dead test gets a 70 on it, gets a 65. Doesn't do well. That's what Romo is. When you need him the most, he lets you down. But in this game, hey, if the Cowboys want to make a run, they've got to take care of business against NFC East opponents in their building. Sometimes it has been tricky for Dallas over the years. Monday Night Football, the bizarre doubleheader. I don't like this, by the way. I'm not a fan, and I'm really not a fan of this one because I'm working during the Eagles-Redskins game. I teach a class on Monday night, so I can't even watch the game. This one will have the bizarre start time of 7:10. I believe I saw they're going to start coverage at 6:55 from Landover, Maryland, when the Redskins take on the Philadelphia Eagles. RG3 will get the start, and I'll tell you what, the Redskins are gambling. If you let RG3 sit for a few weeks, okay, you're tampering with the season a little bit, but remember, the Redskins were 3-6 last year after 9 games, so you can recover. Now, that just depends on what the team's expectations are. If you're talking about, yeah, we expect to go to the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, then he needs to start. But, you know, I just think you have to be careful with the guy's future, and clearly there is some angst amongst the Shanahans, Dr. James Andrews, and also RG3, as far as how to handle this from the usage, too. You know, RG3, I don't think should be running him around as much as he did last year, but we'll see. He's just coming off of that sensational rookie campaign, and he had a big game last year at FedEx Field against the Eagles, a passer rating of 158.3. That's the highest attainable mark for a quarterback, and that is a rookie all-time best as well. So The Eagles' defense is terrifying as far as not being very good, at least from what we saw in the preseason, so feel free to start your Redskins. As far as the Eagles go, I think they'll be able to move the ball against the Redskins' defense. I'm not impressed by the Redskins' defense. I think Michael Vick will be able to move the ball for the Eagles. LeSean McCoy should be active as well. And DeSean Jackson. So the Eagles that you need to start, you should be able to start them with ease against the Redskins on Monday night. And then the second game, the Houston Texans against the San Diego Chargers. Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, yeah, start your Texans. Start Arian Foster. Start Andre Johnson. But as far as this game goes, Houston should win it. Remember when Phil Rivers was a quality quarterback? At least people thought he was a quality quarterback. Not so much anymore. 3,600 yards passing last year, 26 touchdowns. Not so hot from Phil Rivers. Look for Houston to win that game. By the way, in the other Monday night game, I do like Washington to win easily against the Eagles, as much as it pains me to say that being an Eagles fan. But hey, what can you do? So, that you know, it's going to be a tough one, I think, for the Eagles. Meanwhile, the Giants, you look at that NFC East, it's really a strange division. Those teams in correlation with the rest of the league, I don't think are that good, but I think the division play could be very exciting. You get two division games right off the bat with the Giants and Cowboys. I think the Giants are going to get that one, and then the Redskins at the Eagles, the Eagles at the Redskins on Monday night. We'll take a quick break on the JMRA podcast, and when we come back, it'll be time for the Super Bowl pick. Oh, boy. Get ready for this one as we get ready to close it out on the JMRA podcast. Back here on the JMRA podcast, getting you set for week one of the regular season. And it should be a fun 2013 campaign. Wanted to get our Super Bowl pick in with you before we wrap up matters. Now, just as a disclaimer, I'm terrible with this. I think the last Super Bowl I actually got right as far as picking the two teams that were going to be there before the season started was when I was in eighth grade. I accurately predicted the Buffalo Bills would take on the Dallas Cowboys with the Cowboys winning. I got that right. I haven't been right since as far as picking a Super Bowl goes. In the NFC, I think that the Seattle Seahawks will represent the NFC, and not because they'll win the West. I think the 49ers will win the West. I still think the 49ers, man for man, are the better team, but I think the matchups, the way it works out, Seattle matches up well against San Francisco, and I think they'll catch them in the playoffs and eventually defeat them. And then I actually have my NFC Championship game, Seattle at Green Bay, with Seattle winning. So I think that will be quite an intriguing matchup. Should it happen, I'd love to see a rematch of the Fail Mary game. That would be fantastic. So you look for Seattle to get out of the NFC. And then in the AFC, I think it's the NFC is tough because there are a lot more quality teams. I think the AFC is tough for a different reason. Who do you go with? Denver is tricky because you're saying, okay, Peyton Manning is going to get through another year after the neck surgeries. You know, he had a big year last year. You wonder the second year in Denver what he's got left. Tom Brady, a lot of replacements with the receivers. SI picked New England to win the Super Bowl, actually. People are showing Houston some love, a lot of late Cincinnati love as it relates to Super Bowl 48. I'm going to stick with the Broncos. I know it's chalk, but I think, you know, they're going to have home field advantage. I think the matchups will fall right for them. And I think that's how they'll get to the Super Bowl. Now, as far as who wins the Super Bowl, I think Peyton Manning's done as far as winning Super Bowls go. I don't think that will be a situation that will be good for him. Again, you're asking a guy who has played predominantly most of his career in a dome to win a collection of cold weather games and win a Super Bowl. Even if Denver has home field advantage, he'll have to win two games in Denver and then win a Super Bowl probably in cold weather in New Jersey. I don't see him doing that. I think that body at about 36, 37 years old is going to get a little creaky on him as you get towards Super Bowl Sunday, and I look for Seattle to win that one 28-24. Reminder, you can check out the website, JMRA, Joe Montana's Right Arm, at joemontanasrightarm.com. Also, we are on Twitter, at joemsrightarm as well. We'll be a little bit more active on the blog. You know, life interrupts sometimes and work interrupts sometimes. First week of school. Not so much fun this year. My goodness, it's been really busy. So we'll get back in the rhythm of things quite soon here on the podcast, joemontanasrightarm.com. Also, a shout-out to our friends over at SundaysAreForFootball.com as well. Time to wrap this one up. We will talk to you soon. Enjoy week one, everybody. Take care.